you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's a discussion of the latest entertainment news and celebrity gossip that go beyond the headlines. Welcome to Daily Pop, the podcast edition.
It's going to be one big party because not only is it Friday, but today is Justin's birthday!
Yay! Yes, happy birthday!
No one forgot this year. It's so nice.
No, we remembered. We're going to be celebrating with some drinks. Chrissy, you get the cider. They told me which one it was.
Oh,
I get
good.
The darker one.
Thank
I can't
you
get
so
the
much.
Yes.
Yes.
But Justin, you're going to get a green juice because we know that nobody is more concerned about their body than you.
Thank you.
So you're the thirstiest one, so more champagne for me.
Cheers. We're just
Cheers.
Joking. You can have your champagne.
You get your champagne. I'll take the green juice, actually.
Take the green juice.
Oh, there's
you.
Oh,
yes. See what we're mean?
You know what? That's going to be my birthday, folks.
Oh!
Yes.
That's
yeah.
a good one.
Oh, wait, keep that up. Maybe take the green juice back.
No, I mean, that is a good. I'm going to take a little of that.
I'm telling y'all right now, if anyone can find that stomach virus from last year, because that bathing suit photo was right after that 24-hour flu was going around,
that
honey.
That was good.
And I have never looked
that
better.
That should be your profile photo. I'm glad. This is the only time these are going to be on the show and PR is not going to come down until you take those.
That's exactly right. Well, right. Happy birthday.
Cheers.
Love Cheers.
You so
love you guys.
I'm so happy it's your birthday to get us
day.
Alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Third
I
birthday
really
together.
Wish I had alcohol, but... Sparkling cider,
yes.
Just as good. Okay, we've got a huge show today. Meryl Streep is heading to the Met Gala for the first time ever. And this year's theme, we're going to tell you all about it and dig into what it means. Then we have to talk about the chaos that went down behind the scenes during The View's explosive interview with Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle. And Chrissy Teigen is apologizing for making a tone-deaf joke about her mom's spending habits. Does she need to say she's sorry or... are people being too sensitive? All that and more. So let's jump right in. All right, celebrities, let the designing begin. We have the theme and the celebrity co-chairs of next year's Met Gala. So joining Anna Wintour for the first time, it's going to be a first-time attendee, Meryl Streep, also Emma Stone, and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Mm.
That's exciting. What do you guys think about having Miranda on board?
I mean,
Miranda Priestley on board.
I think it's so long overdue. I'm actually surprised that you two really took a second to sip that down, huh?
Yeah,
wow.
I'm really thirsty. A lot of words to say.
Yeah, I think that it was, it's long overdue, and I think it makes perfect sense. And I think it's kind of Anna also being a little cheeky and being like, you know, she essentially played her. I mean, not confirmed, but she played her. So I feel like, I don't know. I think she's really tapping into that, and I think that that's cool of her.
I just... can't wait already to see what Meryl wears.
What if she comes as Miranda Priestley?
Not gonna happen.
That would be unbelievable.
That would be epic.
That would be epic.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be down for that.
You know what's so funny when I heard this announcement? It made me realize how far Meryl has come in celebrity without playing the fame game. You know, every celebrity is clamoring to go to the Met. It's like the Super Bowl for everyone. And it just reminds you that before there was Beyoncé, someone who doesn't have to talk to the media, doesn't have to give you her whole life, Meryl Streep was that person and still is that person.
She also came up in a different time. I think now, in order to be a celebrity, you have to play a completely different game. It's just the game of relevance. And I feel like she just wanted to get roles and be an actress and not have to deal.
How many people can get named co-chair who have never even been to the Met Gala? Only Meryl Streep.
But that's when you have talent. Yeah. That's when you don't
need. That's when you're a legend.
Yes.
You're a legend.
You don't need to play the relevance game. You don't need to put yourself out there. So when you do put yourself out there for one of the biggest nights in history, that's when people pay attention. You only see Meryl on a red carpet if she has a movie out or if she's winning an award.
Yeah. It's very true. She's not, she doesn't fuss around.
She doesn't
a lot.
Do it.
No, she doesn't.
She ain't going to a fitting every other week.
No way. I like that she did Emma Stone.
Yeah, Emma Stone. She's been a Met Gala favorite for years.
And I love that.
So I think she's going to be amazing touch to that too. And then meanwhile, Miranda, of course, everybody loves him. So the theme for the 150th annual gala, I can't believe 150th, is About Time, Fashion and Duration.
Mm-hmm.
It is inspired by the novels of Virginia Woolf and the theories of French philosopher Henri Bergson, who believed time was an ever-evolving stream rather than a series of isolated moments. What's that mean, guys?
I agree. doesn't it make sense when you read it, but when you have to explain it back, you're like, I don't know how to get it. But like, right? But it makes sense. Like, it's just time is ever moving and changing. It's not like this happened at this moment. It's like even in this instance, like energy and time is flowing through us. It's not like we're doing Daily Pop right now. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do I put that into a dress?
Do you know what? It sounds like it makes sense. It's just, it's that era of time.
So I'm stealing this from Melanie Bromley. She told me that it means, as when you're in regards to fashion, that it could be a celebration of timeless with a mixture of disposable fashion. So things that's came and gone, and they were a moment, but then they left, and then things that have been timeless mixed together.
I love that. I just also, you know that the more confusing the theme is, the better everyone looks. Because everyone interprets it differently. But I think that this is going to be like a lot of like French Revolutionary clothing. Like I feel like it's going to be
Marie Antoinette.
That's what I got when I first read it. And then I just saw Meryl in a corset, white corset with a black velvet poofy skirt out with like a little choker with like the white ivory with like the woman's face carved into it. You know, like when you go on a Disneyland ride? You know what I'm talking about? I could see that. You are like, what's happening? What's going on?
I'm not sure how you got that.
I haven't eaten anything today.
I think you're so right. When it's like camp and it's so like, on the nose.
That was
like,
easy.
What's going on here?
But remember the year before? What was it the year before?
Camp was so good. It was so loud. Everybody went over the top.
Fun.
Everybody knew what was happening. Everybody knew what to look for. And everybody knew that anything was acceptable because the camp was the theme. Sometimes when these are open, remember the religious one that was like two years ago?
That was everything.
It was good, but
Rihanna?
But that one was very specific. I don't know. Whenever they're so vague, sometimes
no one gets it.
But actually,
no one gets it.
The religious one actually wasn't. That was how people interpreted it. I don't even think that's what it was supposed to be. And I can't
Catholics and versus something or. I don't remember.
Yeah,
well, Catholic was in the theme, I think.
Catholic was in the theme.
Oh, Heavenly Bodies?
Yes. It wasn't.
I thought it was something with Catholic.
No, it's Heavenly Bodies. If you look through the Catholic, blah, blah, blah,
fashion in the Catholic. Don't you shorten me, Preston. It was Fashion in the Catholic.
He's
what?
Been very shocked.
Okay, well, we'll see. We're excited for the Met Gala. Excited to get that news. Okay, so let's move on to The View. So The View celebrated their 5,000th episode, but the show wasn't really like a party. It was kind of more of a fight. Donald Trump Jr. and his girlfriend Kimberly Guilfoyle stopped by to promote Donald's new book, Triggered. Their appearance didn't go smoothly, I would say. Here's a little look.
Or he's afraid of being attacked like so many of us have for so long by a vicious left that's running a one-sided campaign.
Children! Stop yourself!
We've all done things that we regret. I mean, if we're talking about bringing a discourse down, Joy, you've worn blackface. Whoopi,
no,
you
I said have.
That
I'm
Roman
sorry,
Polanski.
I'm sorry, and don't.
You said
do
that
it.
Roman Polanski, it wasn't rape. When he raped a child. So let's, talk about
so, yeah, no, let's
things.
Talk
Come
about
on,
this. So
fair.
You want to bring this up?
Oof. He was ready.
Wow.
He was ready.
Wow, those are some things. So you wore blackface and you said he didn't rape a kid. That's a lot to throw out in one sentence.
The whole
at my house.
Show,
that's a lot to say.
The whole show was like this. I mean, he was talking about something else. He also called out ABC for trying to track down who leaked the, or who was the whistleblower that mm-hmm. went to CBS. I mean, he really, you know, he came out of fits, but he also knew probably what he was signing up for to they go sit with The View.
But
he
they knew. All knew. ABC knew exactly what they were doing. It's their 5,000th episode. I'm sure the producers were behind the scenes.
Are you kidding?
How are we going to make this pop?
This is ratings bonanza.
Ratings bonanza. And they all got something out of it. He's selling a book. His girlfriend's looking to monetize this moment and get herself on TV because she is an analyst and a contributor on television.
Yeah.
And The View was looking for ratings. It's... They know what they're gonna get. I think Meghan McCain was happy to have somebody else there to get an ass whipping for once.
Yeah. I mean, and by the way, he did. I mean, look, everybody, I will say, I mean, it was heated, obviously, but everyone held their own in their own regard. I mean, he went on there. That takes balls. I mean, it does. It's like, you know, it's not like coming on Daily Pop where we're nice to you all the time.
It's like if David Duke went on Arsenio Hall, you know, right. The leader of the KKK on an all black show. But this is where it comes into play, where these people know what they are doing. They know what people want to see. They talk about this man's father every single day. I'm telling you, this was not a mistake that he was on the 5,000th episode.
Yeah, no,
right.
It's definitely
and also,
not a mistake.
I mean, the reality is that what The View is, right? It's
yeah.
That's the title of the show, is to give everyone's view of what they think about different
and
things.
They don't,
and that includes politics.
They don't shy away from political figures.
No.
They've had political figures on throughout the entire, from the beginning of the show. And I think that's why people either love or hate The View. You know, it's like a love or hate show. You either love it because they do more than just entertainment. They talk about politics. And
yeah.
That's really important to you, and you want to see that. And you especially love when they call each other out. Like, that says something.
And they all have opposing views, too.
And there's others that don't like that because they're like, it's daytime. Like, I'm just trying to, like...
make muffins.
You know,
turn
make muffins. And... you know, you should tune into Daily Pop then.
Yeah, you know, we're so easygoing.
Yeah, so, you know, I think these are the kind of shows that either you love or you hate. They either make you uncomfortable watching it or you're like, this is so good.
Yeah.
I need more.
It was enjoyable.
And
I watched the whole clip.
I mean, they invited writers into the studio audience. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
All this information was leaking out because they knew that this was going to be explosive. I will say, however, if I was going on a show, I think I would have a little bit more tact and not try to call the host out on what they've done in the past. And I think...
as a defense mechanism.
As a defense mechanism.
As a way to say this is what's going on.
That's just
we're not all
how
perfect, but
politics has been played the last few years. There is no tact.
Yeah.
Lately. So
that's true.
Don't... I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate that, and I'm glad... but you're not a politician, and they're just like, no. I just don't think that's how it's been lately.
He needs to be.
I wasn't surprised, is my point. It's like, you and Donald are not the same person.
Right, you need to be calmer.
You know? Okay, moving on. Chrissy Teigen is apologizing for her tone-deaf and icky tweet. Chrissy posted, my mom treats her AirPods like they're disposable, buys a few a month. She says they would be easier to not lose if they had a cord. Well, her tweet sparked a whole lot of comments about the wealth disparity between the rich and the poor. And once Chrissy actually checked her mentions, which she admitted she doesn't do often, she quickly apologized and said, it was meant as a joke and exaggeration about how my mom doesn't realize AirPods are with cord and... AirPods with a cord are headphones, but it came across as super tone deaf and icky.
Oh.
I love her.
Chrissy also added, I promise I will not always say the right thing in the right way, but I also promise I hate disappointing or pissing you guys off. I'm sorry, and I will do better to not be such an a-hole.
Oh.
You're sad. Look, she apologized.
It's like Jumanji. Once you start the game, you gotta finish it. And once you apologize once, people are going to expect you to apologize over and over and over again.
But don't
again.
You feel like Chrissy Teigen is somebody that those apologies don't come easy? She truly feels like she understood where people were coming from, which is why she offered up the apology. If she said something that she truly stood behind and was convicted in, she would not back down. That woman has said some things about some very powerful people, and she has yet to apologize. So I think if she felt like, you know what, some of her fans were like, we didn't like this. I think icky and tone deaf was the correct wording to use. And she was like, I wasn't trying to do that, you guys. That wasn't my intention. Like, she's not good. She apologized for something that she can understand how it would be perceived differently than how she intended it. If she's going to say something that people are going to be upset about that she believes in, she's not going to apologize for it. And
yeah.
That's why people love her so much.
Listen, when I read the tweet for the first time before I even knew that there was backlash this morning when I woke up.
Which there, I mean.
I read it and I just eye rolled. The same way I eye roll over a Kardashian's talking about the rich car, or I eye roll over a rapper talking about how rich they are, or Cardi talking about how rich she are and her presents she got from Offset. Like, it's not like a, like, I'm offended, I need an apology.
No.
It's just a, okay, we know you're rich, stop rubbing it in our faces. It's just an eye roll, like, okay, that's annoying. But it doesn't affect my day. I don't think she needed to apologize, but I don't think she did anything different than what celebrities do every single day is talk about how rich they are.
Yeah, but I don't even think
and
that
And she didn't
was...
even mean to say it that way, though. She wasn't trying to be like, oh, we have AirPods, whatever. She was trying to make a joke about the fact that, like, her mom's basically saying, like, she was saying, there are headphones with cords. You don't need to use an AirPod. Like,
yeah.
I get, by the way, how much are AirPods? Like, I don't even have AirPods. I don't even, like, are they, they're so annoying.
Yeah, but it's like when your mom used to say, that boy thinks money grows on trees. Like, if my mother would tweet that out and people would be upset about it, I just believe that sometimes, like, Chrissy Teigen was an independent contractor for a very long time. She did her own jokes. She was a, you know, influencer. And I feel like now that she has this new show and she has investors in this company, you kind of sort of start to button it up a little too much because you get so scared about apologizing that I just don't think that she should have even did it for this. Save it for something that's going to be deep.
Deeper. You know what I was wondering? I was wondering if her mom said Chrissy, because that her, because even though the joke was about her mom and it was Chrissy who wrote it, it kind of makes her mom look like she's frivolous with her money and just is like super rich and whatever. And I wonder if her mom was like, Chrissy, I don't like how people are talking about me.
Oh, she said worse things about her Bob before.
I think that people jump on everything every second. It's just where the world we live in at this moment. I think everyone needs to just
chill
the F out for
yeah.
a second.
And it's also one of those things where if they were coming after your mom, like, Chrissy could probably, like, come after me, but, oh, no, people are making fun of my mom. Now I feel bad.
Right.
Right. Now I'm going to apologize because I want you guys to stop teasing my mom because I was just joking.
I just think also Chrissy Teigen is somebody who is so aware. You know what I mean? She's not somebody that's just like, oh, this is our life. Like, she's so open. She shows you the good, the bad, the ugly. And I feel like if she made a comment that people mistook, like, who cares? Who cares? It's not that big of a deal.
Don't look into my tweets.
Coming up, let us know your thoughts on our top stories using hashtag DailyPopPlus. Was Jessica Simpson's dad not a fan of Nick Lachey? Could you be involved with someone your family did not approve of? We'll get into that after the break.
This champagne is the bomb.
I keep trying to drink it because I'm getting dizzy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, we're going to read some of your thoughts on our stories so far on The View and Donald Trump Jr. Gossip Folk says, why would they have him on the show? That's just asking for arguments and immaturity. The View needs to stop discussing politics.
Okay.
That was kind of the cornerstone
point.
Of...
That's the point of the show, kind of.
And Ramon is excited for Met Gala. But that's what I mean, where it's like a love or hate. You either can't stand that
yeah.
or you love it.
But that's why there's Daily Pop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Ramon is excited for the Met Gala. He says, I think this theme is so cool. I love the idea, and I cannot wait to see what everyone does this year.
Mm.
All right, so picture this. You're going on a family vacation. You got your current man with you, your mom, your dad, and then you find out your dad has invited your ex-boyfriend to come too.
Why? That's weird.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
According to a former newlyweds, Nick and Jessica producer, that is what Jessica Simpson's dad did to her. The producer told the Reality Life with Kate Casey podcast that Joe invited Jessica's ex, who was a handsome gym instructor, on their family trips.
Mm.
I have a hard time believing this.
I don't.
You don't? I just...
Just Google Joe Simpson. Google Joe Simpson.
So intense.
It will explain everything.
Yeah, I kind of would have to agree with that incentive to Google him. I mean, I think it probably isn't what we think it is, and he maybe wasn't inviting him for that reason.
Uh-huh. You think he was trying to hit on his daughter's ex?
I didn't want to say it.
You just did. It's exactly what you said.
And now we said it. In the words of Camille Grammer, now we said it.
Now we said it.
Now we said it.
We don't say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think he was trying to, like, ruin his relationship.
You guys, no.
Google Joe.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, anyhoot, let's move on. So apparently Joe was never that crazy about Jessica being with Nick, and so the producer explains he thought that the age difference was going to be a big deal. So he was going to He was going to want to start a family sooner than Jessica was going to want to do that. He did not want her to kind of take a backseat and take a break from her career to be a mom at a very, very young age.
That's fair.
This is the jam.
That's fair.
In every relationship, especially when it comes with a daughter, there's always one person in the family, one parent, one sibling that thinks that you should aim higher, that you can do better. There's always one.
And it's usually your dad, right? Your dad never really feels like their daughter meets their match. She feels like the dad always grows to like the guy that your daughter marries. Like, oh, he's nice enough. I think he's a good person. But they never really feel like the person that their daughter's with is good enough. But I think in this instance, you know, Joe was also her manager. And he was probably like, yeah, I don't want my daughter to, you know, fall in love, get pregnant quickly. She was, you know, obviously a virgin when they got married and very traditional. And he probably saw a possibility of her getting pregnant 6 months in. And he was like, no. You have a career to fulfill, and I don't want you to get distracted by being in a relationship with this guy.
I don't think being with a younger man is going to necessarily stop her from getting pregnant at that time.
No, I agree.
But dad's logic is just thinking, oh, Nick's going to be ready for kids sooner than Jessica.
Yeah. And I don't even think it was, I think he would have still had the same concerns had Nick been 25.
Yeah. You know, I had an ex whose mom used to try me all the time. And Barbara, hey, Babs, I know she watches the show. We cool now. Barbara tried me a few times. And it wasn't until she pushed me to that point where I was like, on a text chain, this is not okay, and I will not be attending. Thank you for the invite. I will see you later. And it was almost like I had to pull a big dick move for Barbara to then respect me because Barbara thought I was a push around. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes your family will try and see if your husband can hold his own. After that, it was like Avatar. Barbara and I just put our braids together. We were cool. We still have a, you know, relationship post her son and I dating. But it took me a while to realize what she wanted. And she just wanted me to prove that I can stand up for myself and that I had a backbone.
She wanted to see how much you could take. She wanted to make sure that you could hang.
Barbara put me through the dirt. She put me through the coffee grind.
So you've been on that side, but have you ever dated somebody that your family just really hated?
I live in California. My family lives in Louisiana. They don't make any. it's apples and oranges.
Have you ever dated somebody your family hated?
Yeah.
No, not that they've hated, but that they have had strong feelings that we were not going to work out. And my brothers had no problems telling me that. Like, as soon as the guy would leave, he'd be like, really? Like, is this going to go like one more week, 2 more weeks? Like, why are you wasting this guy's time? Like, you do not belong with this guy.
But let me ask you a question. Has there been one person in your family who prejudged Shannon before getting to know him and told you that you shouldn't be with this person or, oh, this is a phase or you can do better?
Well, I know my dad was worried because, you know, I grew up in Missouri and my dad is born and raised in Missouri. He's never left Jefferson City. And so I think he always thought his daughter would end up with like this country Midwestern guy. And Shannon's born and raised Miami and then lived in LA. That's not like the country west normal guys that I would date. And so whenever he first heard about me dating this guy from Shannon, he was like, oh, no, you got some city slicker. Like, this is just not going to work. He's not going to fit in our family. Like, he's not going to be like that. But then Shannon won him over very fast. Like, I've told you, my dad always makes him do chores.
Yeah, so he was
like cutting wood. He did all the things.
Which is important. I think that shows character.
Yeah. And
cutting some wood.
And there was a lot, you know, he didn't know about Shannon and about how maybe he did have part of his childhood in Miami, but he also was on a farm for a long period in his life and stuff like that and was raised around animals and things like that. So there was like a lot more to Shannon than what met the eye from just like the surface level of not meeting him.
If my daughter called me and said, hey, I'm dating a Florida man, I'd be like, what? A Florida man?
Have you read the headlines?
Have you ever Googled a Florida man?
They get alligators drunk.
Yeah. All right, guys, still ahead. Nike. I said, yeah, like I know what you're talking
about. They do.
Does that happen?
Yes. They do. They're alligators of hangovers.
Watch out, alligators. Don't drink the juice. Still ahead, Nike under fire again for its treatment of female athletes. Can the sports giant survive more scandal?
I'm lit. Ooh, I should have ate this morning.
I joined Nike because I wanted to be the best female athlete ever. Instead, I was emotionally and physically abused. Alberto was constantly trying to get me to lose weight. He created an arbitrary number of 114 pounds, and he would usually weigh me in front of my teammates. and publicly shame me if I wasn't hitting weight. He wanted to give me birth control pills and diuretics to lose weight, the latter of which isn't allowed in track and field.
He was like, skip the bottom pills.
Wow, that's former Nike athlete Mary Kane. As a teenager, she was called the fastest girl in America. She is now 23, and she is calling out Nike and her former coach, Alberto Salazar, for alleged abuses and sufferings while training at Nike's Oregon Project. In a New York Times op-ed, Mary claims the pressure on her to lose weight caused her to break 5 different bones, lose her period for 3 years. Eventually, she began having suicidal thoughts and started self-harming. She claims when she reported her problems to her coaches, no one intervened. Alberto has since been banned from the sport for 4 years for violating anti-doping rules, and Nike has shut down the Oregon Project just last month. So Alberto has disputed Mary's claims, and Nike says that they take the allegations very seriously and will launch an immediate investigation. Now, this is just one of several controversies Nike has been going through these last few years. But is Nike just too big to fail?
I think when you have a brand that has the recognition and the loyalty like Nike, it may be too big to fail. And when I think about a brand that has been like Nike, that has gone through a lot of controversial things, I immediately think of, and please do not shoot me, I'm just saying what I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of Michael Jackson. And I say that because he had brand loyalty, he had the same worldwide recognition, and there were op-eds, there were documentaries, there were lawsuits, there were books, but nothing ever took him down. And not that I'm saying that
they're
he was
the same,
guilty of anything.
It's not the same thing.
It's
not,
but it's this in the, around about the same way. I almost feel like when you have that, you're almost shielded.
Yeah. When you're
really
sort
are.
Of otherworldly. I mean, I think obviously Nike is a massive, massive, massive company. And I do agree with that. I do think that as unfortunate as these events are, I do think Nike as a company is not going to fail. They're not going to stop making shoes. I mean, obviously they shut down this portion of what they were doing. I mean, and you know, it's nice to see that they're, you know, launching an investigation now, but unfortunately, like, the damage is already done.
But, you know,
what
the
is
same
that
thing
even?
With the pregnancies, though, you know, like, they're with all of the athletes that came out and said how they weren't supported during while being pregnant, or they received pay cuts while being pregnant, being represented by Nike. They have looked and they've changed their policy. So some positive can come out of this. And I think that maybe they will never shut down. You know, it's just a global empire. People buy Nike. But maybe the way that they approach how they're going to work with athletes, these conversations,
people, are gonna be
people speaking out like Mary, like all the examples in the past, is what makes change, is what makes big companies look at themselves and say, and I mean, we could go to networks, like TV networks, looking back and saying, like, what are we doing so wrong? Where is communication falling in this place where, like, we've lost track of where we want, what kind of company we want to be?
I think it's at the top. I think when you have a bunch of older white men making decisions on how to train female athletes, and you don't have any executives at the top that are women or of women experience, you don't know. So you keep on putting this Band-Aid over, oh, let's make this happen because this woman spoke out. Let's make this happen because this woman spoke out. How about let's get a woman in the house so this woman can tell us how to deal with these athletes? There are so many amazing and potential candidates out there because you have so many Olympians, you have so many national athletes that can join that board and join that structure and make it better for the future. Mm-hmm. Don't shut something down and don't say you're going to change this policy. Bring someone in who understands women.
Well, I think that they're going to policy and do shut them down. I think those were both important things to do as a step to move forward.
I think in order to survive, I mean, I think we're in a culture now where everything is being discussed and you have to, there is a code of conduct that needs to be followed. You need to follow the rules perfectly. Like, you're not going to get away with things that people got away with 25 years ago or when she was growing up. Like, there is going to be women on every single team that are overlooking. Like, nobody's going to be subjected. I mean, what if something happened to her? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, nobody's going to be taking those risks again. So I do believe that Nike is taking these accusations extremely seriously. I think they're going, unfortunately, you know, the damage, as I said, has already been done. It's good to see that she's doing so well. But I think if you're going to be a conglomerate the way Nike is, you need to make sure that every single box is checked at all times.
Yeah, but I don't think closing something down is going to help. I mean, think about, you know, the Me Too movement and, you know, diversity in Hollywood. Think about diversity in Hollywood. You know, when shows didn't have diverse, you know, writers or didn't have diverse shows on air, what they would do is they would make positions for people of color, for people of diversity, and they would continue and letting it go. Shutting it down is not going to help. Let's broaden
you
it.
You want to
Let's
improve it.
I want to improve
but
it.
Perhaps it was shut down for other reasons as well. Maybe it just wasn't working out.
Yeah. Could be it. All right, guys. Up next, the women of Frozen heat up the red carpet. We've got Kristen Bell, Idina Menzel, and more on today's Fashion Roundup. Stay with us.
Ooh, she's going to need some water.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, it's time for a fashion roundup. Kicking things off with Kristen Bell at the Frozen 2 premiere. So she looks so pretty. Sorry, I got distracted. This is Christian Dior, and it's so pretty, I think.
I don't live for it.
I don't either.
I've seen her in more dynamic gowns. I've seen her. I mean, it's good. It's fun. I mean, it's pretty.
It's just fine.
Premiere.
It's a pretty color. It's a little old for her. For me.
I don't know. Something about it, she just, maybe it's her hair, her makeup, and everything. I don't know, her body. She's just pretty.
She's so beautiful. But yeah. The dress just, it's not up to her standards.
Yeah.
Okay. Idina Menzel channeled her character in this white Galvan London dress.
Oh, okay, girl. All right. I'm in for this.
I love a white sequined. I love a winter white. I love.
And you can tell when a woman's filling her outfit and her jewels because they do the Sharon Stone. Look at the hand. Close up on the hand, it's like perfectly like spaced out because you know I'm trying to get that moment on the hip. She looks beautiful.
Yeah, yes. She does. I like this one too. Selena Gomez. So she showed up to be the best sister ever, bring her little sister Gracie. They wore Marc Jacobs and were twins. I thought that was cute.
I mean, Selena looks like she's 16 here, right? She looks so young.
That little break that she took was
sweet.
Good.
I think this is adorable. I mean, what is there to say? It's cute. And it's very so on theme for the movie.
Absolutely. I mean, whenever you see like a big sister dressing like her little sister, you're like, okay, well that wins.
We'll take it.
That's cutest. Cute. Evan Rachel Wood, she had a T-length Oscar de la Renta.
God, she really does it, huh?
This is what Kristen Bell should have worn.
Yeah, agreed.
And I will say this, Evan Rachel Wood has literally been shown up on carpets in menswear, in tuxedos, and deconstructed suits. So when you change it up like this, we all take notice. And we all are taking notice.
And she pulls off both of them so equally
well.
I
love her hair color.
Mm-hmm.
This is stunning. Head to toe, everything about it. The shoes are perfect. It's perfect.
And she also literally went to the atelier, and they told her exactly how to pose in this gown. And she did it.
She did.
This is how you do it.
She's amazing.
It's great. Okay, over at the SAG-AFTRA event, we had Olivia Wilde. She had a Valentino creation on.
I get it. Okay, I understand. It's very fashion, and it's a cool dress. It's a comfortable dress. She probably put it on and was like, oh, this is what I'm wearing tonight. Like, I like it. It's not my favorite look.
Stop it.
It's not my favorite look.
Stop it.
It's not my favorite look.
Stop it.
But I understand
it's gorgeous.
You think so?
It is so beautiful and laid back and elegant. It's hitting all the right notes for me. I love that her hair is easy. I love that her makeup's a little bit dramatic. I'm loving every minute of it. I think the problem that you're feeling is that it's pooling in the wrong places. This is when you need a gay on that carpet. You need one gay man who's gonna fluff that dress and run out of sight. This is what it is.
I'm with you, Justin. I think that this is, I love this. I really do. I think it's cool and relaxed, but all for those reasons that you said too, though, Morgan, that she probably put it on, felt comfortable, felt great, and was like, this is cool, I'm gonna wear it. And it's just something sometimes whenever they don't put that much effort into it.
I'm all about an effortless look. Like, I understand the dress. I don't know, maybe it's the green and the white. I get it. I just don't, something about it, I'm not like, yes.
Yeah, into it.
But it's not because it's not showing off her body or it's not tight enough. It's just, I don't know, something I'm not, emotionally I'm not connecting.
Okay, Cynthia Erivo walked the carpet in a golden black suit. What do you think about that?
I love the Empire waist. I love that it's like a very, it's a cool suit. I like it. It's simple. It's to the point. It's a good. It fits well. I think it looks good. It's
cool
a,
suit.
It's a strong look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that she didn't put a necklace.
Cool.
Yeah. Love that she kept the jewelry simple. Love that she kept the hair and makeup simple. Great.
Very good. Love it. Okay, moving on. Coming up, we're going to count down to the E! People's Choice Awards, find out some of the stars who will be taking the stage Sunday when Annie Pop continues.
Yo!
We're letting out the secrets.
You ready for Sunday? Because we're ready for the People's Choice Awards. You are the People's Icon, and we are very excited at E! Is the People's Icon ready?
I don't know. We'll see about that. To see if I'm ready first. I think we're all ready.
We are ready for you, Jen. Okay, Jason was with Jen at the SAG-AFTRA Foundation's 4th Annual Patron of the Artists Awards, where she picked up an award. Congratulations. Like they mentioned, Jen's also going to be celebrated again at the EPCAs this Sunday. There's going to be so many stars there. Presenters for the big night include Jenna Dewan, Kelly Rowland, Karamo Brown, Sarah Hyland, and so many more. Also, there will be show-stopping performances by Alessa Cara and Kelsey Ballerini.
Your favorite.
And we're going.
Yes, we are going. So we're so excited for this show that we have a little game. Oh, by the way, let me tell you real quick that the E! People's Choice Awards air Sunday at 9 right here on E! Didn't want to forget that part.
Let me tell you really quickly what's going on Sunday.
On
Sunday,
E!
People's Choice Awards, 9 p.m.
Right,
yeah.
9 p.m.
Oh, it's only on E!
On
it's like
day.
Exclamation point.
Thank you. Chris. They're like, Chris, the most important part. Tell them when to watch it.
Okay. And we have cute dresses.
Oh, we
mine's
do.
So good.
Okay.
It's stupid. I can't.
So, to continue the E! People's Choice Awards celebration, now we're gonna play a game. Okay, can you guess these celebs behind some of these fashionable looks from the PCAs over the years? Okay, starting with number one. After gracing the carpet in Versace, this artist performed one of her newest hit songs for the first time in the U.S. at last year's EPCAs.
I know who it is and it's escaping me. Her name is
Rita Ora.
Rita Ora, God, you, I hate you. Rita
yes, Rita Ora.
I didn't even get a chance to look at the picture. All right, let's do number two. Now, this person has hosted the People's Choice Awards 5 times.
What?
The Ooh. Most in the show's history.
Who's hosting
Who
the People's
is that?
Choice Awards?
I thought it was going to be Ellen.
5 times.
I don't know where it gone like that.
No, it's not Ellen. That wasn't the right photo.
That wasn't the right photo. Yay!
So who is it?
We're going to get another photo, I think, coming up soon. Maybe...
Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah.
Is that Queen Latifah?
Yes!
Love Queen Latifah! Okay.
During her acceptance speech, this winner for favorite motion picture actress expressed relief at having the foresight to shave her armpits. Oh, that was,
Give us a photo!
I remember this conversation.
Sandra Bullock?
Preston?
Photo? Who was that? Was that...
Let me draw it for you.
Okay. I don't know.
Julia Roberts.
Okay, let me just look at the answer. The answer's Julia Roberts.
It is?
Maybe. I don't know. These
Julia
are all out of order.
Is it?
Yeah. Julia Roberts. Okay.
I
Which
knew that.
Pop star made her People's Choice Awards debut in 2007?
Oh, is this Mandy Moore?
JoJo. I have no
it
kind
of looks like JoJo a little bit. I'm going to go with Mandy Moore.
It's not Mandy Moore.
It is Miley Cyrus.
Oh, my God. Oh. What did I say?
JoJo.
I've been in a lot of shows this week. I have no idea
you guys,
why I said
it's
JoJo.
Friday. It's Jess's birthday. We're all talking about thinking about celebrating.
Yay. Okay.
Who became the first person in the PCA history to win 20 trophies?
These, I'm so annoyed. These people are tough.
That's not Will Ferrell.
That's Ellen.
It's Ellen.
Ellen.
It is Ellen.
I'm gonna lose my mind. All right, the actress.
This
Will
actress.
Will Ferrell?
What is she?
Will Ferrell in an outfit like that.
I thought the hands looked soft. And after I said it, I said, did I not look at the hands? The hands are so soft.
My God.
Are you sure you didn't give me champagne?
We
are
might have.
If I did, it wasn't marked properly, and it's not my problem if any issues happen.
Okay. Right, so this actress was nominated for Female TV Star last year, and she's nominated again this year for Female TV Star.
Jamila Jamil.
That's Steve Carell.
Karen Washington.
That is Steve Carell. I know those hands.
Who is it?
Carrie?
No, it's the girl from Jane the Virgin.
They're not showing us.
Oh! This is ridiculous. How are we supposed to know this?
I know her.
I don't know. I don't have any of these questions here. Okay, in 2014.
What? Get that drink. Is her hers darker?
Took home the favorite pop artist award.
Yeah. Get it.
Demi Lovato.
Is that Britney?
That's Britney.
That's Britney. Look at the legs. That's Britney.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Go ahead, Britney.
I finally got one right. Yay.
Soft hands and legs. That's how you identify people.
Okay. This actress gave a very moving speech in 2009. She said, a couple years ago, I won a great award for singing in a movie. This year, I won an award for having a baby throw up on me. Hey, it takes a great
Catherine
actress.
Heigl.
No. To hold back the gag reflex when a baby spits up.
Reese Witherspoon.
Into the picture.
No, sung in a movie.
Reese Witherspoon. I said it. I win. I got three right. Did you count?
We did it. All right. Still ahead. New research that may have you thinking twice about those smart devices in your home. Are you at risk for being hacked? We'll get into that just ahead. If you own a Google Home or an Amazon Echo, you might want to be careful, maybe turn it off, because Japanese researchers have figured out how to hack smart devices using a laser pointer. The researchers realized there's a design flaw that causes devices like these to respond to a light as if it were a sound. So you just point the laser at the device's microphone, and they've been able to use this to open garage doors, hijack voice assistants, all while standing hundreds a feet away. They could be like ordering stuff.
Oh my God.
Card.
What is the deal, bro?
I don't know. Does you guys, I turned off my Siri this morning.
by the way.
How do you turn it off? She's always invading my conversation.
You never should have Siri on. I have a friend who works for the government and he tells me all the tricks. You should turn your Siri off ASAP.
Wait, how do you turn off your Siri?
You just go to settings and turn Siri off.
Oh, anything with general settings in me is very complicated. It's very hard for me to do it. I cannot handle it. But also when you, if you turn Siri off, does it affect when you want to talk into your texts?
No, that's a whole different thing.
I know.
Another life hack too.
Got it. I don't have an Alexa. I have a Nest, and that's the only technology I have in my home. I just wanted a camera in my closet in case like it got lonely and I wanted to say hi.
Oh, nice. Well, they do say one way to protect yourself in the meantime, because the researchers do claim they're going to have to literally rebuild these things. So until they do, just keep your device out of view from a window so that nobody could be looking into your house and see the device.
Mm-hmm.
So hide it.
I just think it's better to be device-free.
Same here.
You can turn your own music on. You don't need Alexa to do that.
Same here.
So dependent on it. I don't have
Alexa.
One either, but yeah, I know. What, Melanie has one in every room in her house.
What is Melanie? Melanie
also has six cats. So
yeah, that's also
about Melanie.
That is also very valid.
We love you, Melanie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we surprised?
We'll be right back with more Daily Pop after this.
You know,
are we really surprised?
28 robes too.
I love robes.
She dresses
robes.
The cats on a daily basis.
I love robes. I have like 7 robes.
My won't be out, so they can get to it easy. Be out.
So this is what they found. Should start feeling a lot better.
We were able to ensure that there's nothing of significance. Okay.
He's like the Martin Scorsese of my ass.
Oh my God. Yes. Will Smith vlogged his very first colonoscopy.
You know what? Good for him. I think for men, we don't really think about early detection because we're men. And, you know, it takes me back to when Angelina Jolie revealed about that she had the BRCA gene and how many people went out after that and got tested for that gene and how many women's lives were saved. So I think more male celebrities should show their asses like this.
Yeah. Well, interesting. I never knew what happened during a colonoscopy. So
it's not pleasant. You have to drink something for 3 days before, like a goopy liquid that's like glue and... glue.
Yeah, I'd be fine. I think I'd be good.
It's not a fun experience. They have to, like, put a camera down there.
Let's read your guys' thoughts on
Walk
the story so far on whether you could date someone your family did not approve of. Shay says, I have seen some family members not approve of someone because the person was too quiet. Ooh, that happened to me. My brother dated a girl. She didn't talk. I was like, I don't know her.
Hello.
Brennan says he couldn't. He says, once you marry someone, you marry the family too. I think a lot of people don't realize that. And Annelle agrees. She says, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't. I ended up marrying in less than a year later.
later, we got divorced. When you tell your kids not to do something, they're going to do it.
It just dawned on me, you're the one family member who never thinks that person's good enough for your family.
No, that's not true. Happy birthday, Justin!
Happy birthday!
That may be true. Monday, we'll talk about PCAs. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye. Chrissy, you are killing it today. You are going.
Music and alcohol.
Thanks for listening to the podcast edition of Daily Pop. Remember, we've got a new episode every day. Make sure to subscribe and have a great rest of your day.